Good evening and welcome to a brand new episode of the Horror Friendly Podcast. My name is Katie and I am joined. I nearly forgot my line. I am joined.
And I'm just here doing my thing.
I'm here on my own. No, I'm not. No, I am here with Chantel. Hi, Chantel.
Hey. And I nearly belted at that worst time.
Oh, that's fine. It's all going wrong.
I know. We're not very professional. Even after all this time, still
after all this time, I'm not sure we've ever been called or have called ourselves professional, but
no, ever in even in my work life capacity, I don't think I've ever been called professional.
No, same, yeah, same. To be fair, yeah, we had Charlie back last week, but it's just back to us two this week.
Yes,
until she can get back on her schedule. And she can grace us with her presence.
Well, you did see her in flesh just yesterday, so.
I did. She's doing well, everyone. She's all good. Again, we haven't fallen out. but we did say at the beginning of the series that she'd be kind of back and forth. So, she's all good. We went to see a gig. It's very good.
I was going to say, despite the strong debates we had last week about whether or not. About everything, yeah. Really.
Whether she'd fucking survive, like, I can't get into that again. She wouldn't survive because it's not possible.
We said there's no one survives, including exactly. Anyone who's not even on this episode. Like, it's just not doable.
Correct.
However, we will discuss that. Well, we'll ask that same question slightly later of this film. Mm. But yes, so shall we get into it?
Let's do it.
Jerry.
Hey, Fiona.
Look what you did to me.
I'm so sorry.
Friday, I had a pretty cushy gig. I had lots of friends. I was the office hottie. Now I'm a severed head in a fridge. Sucks to be me, Jerry.
What can I do about it now?
Take the meds, you useless wanker. Take them. Take them! See, that wasn't so hard, was it?
Okay, so this week we are covering the 2014 The Voices. A likable guy pursues his office crush with help from his evil talking pets, but things turn sinister when she stands him up for a date. Katie, first time, when was your first time watching this? I know where your first time was.
Well, you say that. Mm. It actually wasn't my first time. I watched it a couple of years ago. Yeah. Oh. And don't remember exactly when I watched this. It was a couple of years ago though, and I didn't remember it. I think it was kind of like a background film. But I watched it again when I was ill, one of the several times I've been ill in January. I watched it, yeah, last month. When I was ill, and I just loved it so much. Like, I remembered bits of it from when I first watched it, but it was really fun to like rewatch it properly and like sit down and really concentrate on it.
Yeah.
And this was kind of like a last minute one for us, because we were actually going to cover another film, but we decided last minute to do this one.
Well, we decided since Valentine's Day is coming up, this one kind of comes into the really romantic, fucked up romance idea.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. So we had a funny moment basically a couple of weeks ago, but yeah. You explained, Tel, because you and your partner watched this, didn't you?
Yeah, so we watched it only a couple of weeks ago because I saw it on Prime. It's funny because I'm still quite new to Prime, so I was just kind of flicking through, being like, is there anything worth watching? Saw this and I'd heard about it, and I was like, we both like Ryan Reynolds, let's give it a crack. And then you and I were texting in the evening, because I think you were telling me like all the films you were watching. And I was like, oh, well, we've just watched The Voices. And you were like, no way, I watched that today as well. So this is why I thought it was quite...
Mate.
We were so in sync.
We're so in sync.
We actually have the same Prime account. That's all it is. It was just advertising. Yeah.
What's she watching?
What's she watching today? So we thought it was really funny. And we quite enjoyed it. And yeah, as we said, it's a bit of a dark comedy. It obviously does touch on some like mental illness and stuff. I don't know how accurate a portrayal it is, because obviously not living with schizophrenia, I don't know. But again, it's not one of those men it's not one of those mental health things that kind of displays the same for everyone. So you couldn't
No.
watch this film and be like, oh yeah, that's the schizophrenic experience, because it's not for
No.
everyone. So I do think it's, yeah, it's one of those where like you have to take it with a pinch of salt. Because I just don't think they would have got everything right. I don't think they'd have got everything PC.
No.
But I love that I get we every time we come across a film like this, I love the contrasting aspects in horrors where everything's pink and pretty. And we're obviously seeing his world without the drugs. And as soon as he takes them again and we see reality, like I'm rambling already, but it really makes you sympathize with the killer because you're like, well, obviously he's not going to want to take the drugs because that's horrible and that's lovely.
Yeah,
So
it's a
it's,
very complicated.
yeah, but it's making you sympathize with him and it's making you see more of him, which is really sad as well because, oh God, again, I'm going on such a rant. I will let you get a word in. But like a lot of his as well stems from like childhood trauma. So again, it's like shit he wasn't supposed to even have been involved in. It's just, yeah, it's harsh.
Yeah, there's a lot going on, and like day to day, I mean, let's get into it. Fuck it,
Yeah,
let's get
let's do
into
it. I feel
it.
like I was just like, I need to like word vomit everything out.
That's fine, we can word vomit. Because he works in a factory, doesn't he? Like day to day.
Yeah, like bathtubs.
Yes, and like he wears like the pink uniform, and like you say, everything's very bright, and he comes across as a pretty like likable guy. He's got like his headphones in all day, listening to like nice cheery songs, and like, yeah, this is the thing, like instantly he becomes a likable character, in a different way that other kind of like antagonists are likable. Like, you know, we were saying that we kind of like Hannibal Lecter, but like there's it's a completely different way that we like him. We like Hannibal Lecter because he's clever and he makes funny comments, and you know, he's a fucking psychopath. But like Ryan Reynolds' character, I can't believe. Jerry, sorry, but Jerry is like just kind of adorable.
He's one of those where you kind of, as an adult, you watch him now and you're like, oh, if that was, he was at my work, I'd be really nice to him. Because we all went to school with someone who didn't quite fit in, or we were the person that didn't, or college or work. So you, I think as an adult, you're always like, if I ever see someone who's not quite fitting in, I want to help them. So you
Yeah.
can see in this him trying really hard to fit in, to be normal, what he perceives as normal. By being a hard worker, like his boss really appreciates him because he's a hard worker. And then he's like throwing him a line to be like, hey, want to organize the party? And he's so happy about it. He mentions it to his therapist. Like
Yeah.
that's lovely. Like that's really sweet and endearing and like makes him a lovely character that he just wants to help and help other people have fun. No one else in that meeting gives a shit except for, oh, I forgot his crush's name, who wants to do the conga line.
Fiona.
Fiona. So, yes, they instantly make him very likable.
Yeah, and I think the difficulty is that like clearly he's the bad guy in all of this, but she's kind of unlikable. Like she's not very nice to him. She doesn't really give a shit about the whole event apart from the bit that she's organizing. Like she couldn't give a fuck about what anyone else is talking about. Like she seems, well, actually, I mean, she seems like kind of friendly with him at the beginning, but then, you know, like later down the line, she stands him up and sort of just isn't like she's not like Anna Kendrick's character, Lisa. Like she's a lot less likable than her. Which I think is what really makes it difficult.
It's, yeah, and I think it's as soon as she stands him up, you're like, you're a dick. Or it's like she's
Yeah.
avoiding him. And at that
Yeah.
point, again, like if you've had somebody had a crush on you and you haven't felt the same way, yeah, it can be awkward. But there's nothing sadder than him in the empty Chinese restaurant.
I
Like,
know.
it's heartbreaking.
I know. But when I'm sorry, we're probably going to go very back and forth in this episode, guys. I'm sorry. But
As
because it is such a back and forth film, so I feel like you kind
yeah.
of just everything's kind of going on at once.
Yeah.
But when you say like you can sort of see in like that in Jerry's world the difference to when he's actually on the drugs or off the drugs. But I swear like at sort of like the first half of the film, you see his flat and his flat looks pretty normal. And I guess that's because he's
not murdered anyone in it yet.
Not murdered anyone in it. And he's, but then I swear at the end when everyone, when they just, when the police discover his flat, like it, obviously, I thought like everything about the flat is disgusting. So I think even at the beginning, we're lied to because we're looking at it through Jerry's drug-fueled eyes, which are just like, oh, everything's wonderful.
I think the thing about it,
I might have got that wrong.
I think it was like a tidy, clean flat. Like, I think he was trying, obviously, yeah, like we said, like he was trying at work, he was trying at home. I just think it was a bit ugly. Like, the decor was a bit outdated. Like, I don't think it was that it was a dirty flat. I just think it wasn't very... We look at it and go, okay, it could use a lick of paint, it could use some new carpets. But obviously, that shows up a lot more at the end when it's covered in blood. But yeah, it's not a horrible flat. It's just outdated.
No. I mean, I don't know whether we should get into it straight away, but Fiona's death, I mean, she's the first one he kills.
Yeah, which... it sounds so harsh. It was a little funny. Like, I know it's not supposed... Well, it is a dark comedy.
Wasn't he, like, saying something about Lucifer or something? Like, the fourth angel was Lucifer or
oh, my
something.
God, yeah. he was trying to be like, fun fact, you know this. And then was trying to get her to guess the devil. And then, obviously, the whole thing with the deer was obviously, like, heartbreaking. But when you can see his side and he starts talking to the deer and you're like, okay, now we can sympathize because we know why he did what he did.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I know. But then you also just feel so scared for Fiona as well. You're like, oh my God, she's like trapped in this car with this not well man that she could potentially be in danger. Mm. So like, yeah, literally just noping it out of that car as quickly as possible.
Like, she did the right thing. I think what's the only bit that's funny is that because it was, again, it's not funny like ha ha, it's just funny because it's like it was an accident, like he literally tripped.
Yeah,
but why
but did he, was it an accident or was he like he wanted to do it but he just said, oh, look what you made me do,
look what you made me do. I'm gonna stick with it was an accident.
Okay.
But why it wouldn't have happened had he not chased her with a knife.
Mm,
like, why, I mean. Why would he do that? And why would you have a knife that size in your car anyway? Like, and obviously we just saw him use it on the deer, but...
And why did he proceed to stab her several times after that? So tell, I mean,
I can't defend that.
You can defend Jerry all you want, but that's what I mean, that's really funny that me and you look at it in different ways, because I looked at it like he was always intending to kill her. He was just, he did it and he was like, oh, look what you made me do. Like, you hear like some like villains in horror films and or thrillers or something with like true crime things where they're like, oh, you made me do this. Like,
you made me do it, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it was more like that. But it's interesting that you think that he was like, fuck, okay.
See, I thought it started completely as an accident and then it became desperation. Mm. I wouldn't even blame that on like his mental health or the drugs or anything. I just think you have seen it where like things go wrong. I'm not talking murder. Well, murder as well, but not, I wouldn't know from experience. But like when something goes wrong and then you try and fix it and it escalates.
Yeah.
And it's like, it happens so quickly. So it's like, I do appreciate that, but... And the thing is, I don't know how he would have proved he was innocent, because he was in the middle of nowhere. It was like, do you know what I mean? He stabbed her with a knife. It wasn't like, oh, I threw my knife and it just accidentally hit her, officer. No. Like, it was a close range hit. Like, there was nothing there that made him look innocent. So
no.
Even if he had like got the cops involved straight away, he still would have been going down. Like,
yeah. So you think that he did it by accident and then afterwards he kind of liked the feeling, so that's why he carried it on?
Yeah, I think it, yeah, maybe. I think it was like for me it was that desperate and he knew he couldn't save her, so he had to kill her because otherwise he was going to be screwed.
Yeah, it's like the deer, like putting it out of its misery.
Yeah, it's like a merciful killing, except the mercy wasn't for Fiona, it was for himself.
Yeah, ooh. Oh,
which is all well and good, but then he also didn't try and hide the body until the cat told him to.
Yeah. Oh my God, we haven't even fucking talked about the pets.
It's okay, we haven't been going that long.
How have we just like brushed past the pets at this point?
Because to be fair, until this point, the cat's just an arsehole. Now the cat is literally the devil on his shoulder, but also talking him through murder. He's like, right, now you need to go back and get the body. Now you like he's coming out of the fight. Just doesn't the dog tell him to go to the police?
Yes.
Like, this is the difference between dogs and cats. The cats would absolutely be the sidekick in the murder.
Literally. It's so funny that they've like decided to choose the cat as the bad guy and the dog as the adorable one that just wants to help Jerry.
I feel like when writing this, that was the easiest decision to make. We need to give Jerry a pet that's going to be an arsehole. And everyone just went, a cat?
Yeah, it's got to be a cat, right?
Got to be a cat. And we need a good boy. Oh, dog.
Oh, absolutely. Such a good boy. A beautiful boy. But yeah. And they're voiced by Ryan Reynolds himself.
They are, which actually didn't even notice.
No, I didn't notice it the first time I watched this. But it really makes a lot of sense because they are the voices in his head. So it's perfect that he's making up these voices himself and they are coming from him. So I think it would have been quite strange for another voice actor to be the pets because when you're, I mean, I don't know, we don't regularly do it where we like, I mean, you used to have pets, Tell. Did you pretend that they would be talking to you?
You're going to get me on meds now.
Phoning the doctor.
Don't worry.
Phoning Mitch.
Not in a way that I don't think anyone else does. Like when you talk to your pet and you like, again, I had like dogs and that. So, crap. You talk to them and you kind of give them a voice to talk back to you, but it was always other people were around, so you're in on the gag. Or
it's a very different situation, obviously.
Yeah. Or like if I was taking one for a walk, I don't know, because again, you could be like, oh, I'm like clearing my head and thinking about all this crap. And the dog would definitely be answering you, but like not out loud. Like, and I knew it wasn't written. Does that all make
sense? No. I know what you mean. Because I know people that like dog owners that will like make a voice for their dog.
Yeah. But like you know the difference. And you also course. I think it's just what it's the same as like if you just go for a walk to clear your head, you can have like a dual monologue going on where like you're giving yourself the answers, you just do it through a pet.
Yeah. And this is probably a stupid thing to ask in the film, but like I couldn't work out whether when the pets were talking, obviously it was in his head, but was he saying it out loud? Because I don't think there was ever a moment where the pets and Jerry's character were in one scene together. So like when he came home, like the dog would greet him, but then when the dog spoke, it was always just the camera was just on the dog or on the cat. So I wonder if Jerry was saying these voices out loud, but the camera obviously wasn't on Jerry at the time. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. I'm trying to think, and I don't
because I wonder whether Jerry was saying it, doing it in his head, or whether he was actually looking and saying it out loud. Because I think saying it out loud is probably like creepier that he's just sat in his flat, like having a conversation with himself with three different personalities.
I am trying to think because like, the only time I could think is it Alison? Is it Anna Kendrick? Alison or Lisa?
Lisa.
So I can only think like when she's knocking on the door, she might have heard more than one voice if it was him doing that. But I don't think they played it like that. So I don't know, but maybe.
No, I don't know. Just curious.
I don't think they would have filmed it that way because, again, if he's in his flat seeing it in his perspective, we're not going to see him talking because it's his world.
That's true. Yeah, that's very true, actually. It's all consumed by him, so we don't have to see that, I suppose.
Yeah. So I'm gonna go with that way, that it was... I don't know. Maybe just depended.
Exactly. Depends on how he felt each day.
Yeah.
I mean, as we say, we're not doctors, so we don't know how much of like an accurate portrayal this is of schizophrenia. But there was some of it that was just so like kind of heartbreaking about like how quote unquote the cat, aka Jerry, Mr. Whiskers.
Mm-hmm. I love the naming.
I know how like he spoke to Jerry and how like horrible he was to him. And it's so heartbreaking that this is what Jerry felt about himself. And just like, it's just very, I don't know, it's just very sad as well as everything else.
I think that's why schizophrenia can be so scary, is because one, it's hallucinations. So you don't, and it can be, or it can be visual, it can be auditory, it can be smells, like it can, and I think that's really unsettling. I think people who live with it every day, some of the things I've seen on social media, so again, I take it with a pinch of salt, but try, because it's from their experience, I try to, you know, believe it a bit more, but you never know what people are putting on social media. But some of them have said, like, it's less scary because they live with it, so they can, you know, they're either used to it or they know what's their schizophrenia and what's real. I did see someone, they were out for a walk, and they thought they could see someone, and I think they had their dog with them, but the dog wasn't reacting to the person. So they got their phone out to like film it. And they kept apologizing to this person because although they were like, oh yeah, sorry, you go, and they're having a conversation. And then they put the video up and they were like, sometimes I film things because I don't know what's real. And when they put the video up, there was no one there, but they'd literally been having a conversation with someone, convinced there was another person, but it wasn't, the person wasn't like scary or intimidating. They were just walking past and they had a conversation. And I was like, so it's not always go and kill this person.
Of course not. No, there's lots of different ways. I assume that's how schizophrenia works. It's not that you're an evil killer. It doesn't, you don't just go straight to that. But,
I think it's why some people who live with it every day are like, it's, you know, they hate films like this because it really does portray it bad. But it's, the horrible thing is there have been cases where obviously schizophrenia has had an impact on someone's life this negatively. I did actually find, and this is what I was just looking at. So I'm just going to read this article. It's from ejournals.unmul.ac.id. It's a very long one. But the Voices movie is analysed in this study because it is based on a true story and also lots of lessons in life found in it, such as mental illness behaviours and behaves and communicate. So I'm trying to find just a little bit more on how it was based on a true story. Like, and again, we take that, my phrase for this episode is take with a pinch of salt, because every time they're like, based on a true story, look at Cocaine Bear.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So it would, well, I'm just trying to find like how much was, because I had, again, it's always typical, we do all our research and then as we're recording, something else pops up. So, or once we've already recorded and then I'm posting something on Instagram and something pops up and I'm like, for fuck's sake. So do know, listeners, we do our research. Just annoyingly, research hides from us right to the last second sometimes.
Wow, that's very interesting though.
So once Fiona's done though, I kind of love the premise of her being alive in the fridge.
Yeah, it is very good. Like it's funny, it's meant to be, it's a comedy horror, so it is meant to be funny, and
yeah,
it's the last thing you think you're gonna see when he goes. And then again, it kind of just delves deeper into his mind and how his mind working, and how he kind of thinks, oh well, she's still alive, like she's alive,
I haven't had fridge. She's not annoyed at me.
She's here. Yeah, she's not annoyed, she's just demanding for a friend. That's all she does, like, for the rest of the,
but it's the again, it's the contrast where he suddenly takes his meds and then he sees the horror that is his flat now. And I love the bit where he's in the hardware store and he's buying like the mini containers. And I was like, oh God, what's he going to, like?
That bit was really gross.
Was really great. And you see the reality and you're like, oh God. And then she's just decaying in the fridge.
Yeah.
So then the contrast with the next day, like, oh, you're back. Like how happy he is to see her is heartbreaking. Because again, you're like,
so heartbreaking.
She shouldn't be rooting for you. I know you're a terrible, terrible person right now. You've murdered someone, but you don't seem to know you've murdered them. You don't seem to know they're dead. Oh dear.
Oh my God.
Come on, Jen.
Yeah, I actually forgot about that bit when, like, you see that, yeah, the reality of why he wants to take those meds, and you kind of like look at his flat and you kind of think, I kind of get why you want to go back on them, Jerry. Like, why you want to not be on them, Jerry, because his little bubble that he's living in is so much better than the reality he's facing.
Yeah.
And
Are
also
you?
because like he's lonely, and then he's when he doesn't take his meds, he's got the people to speak to. He has company around him. He
Yeah.
doesn't just have a dog that doesn't speak, or a cat that doesn't speak, or a he has a decaying head in the fridge. It's not speaking to him.
This is it, like
It's not being
reality.
friendly, and she looks
Yeah.
beautiful with full face of makeup. Like, that's what he wants to
Yeah.
see.
And reality can be really hard. Like you can see why people need an escape, but this is like to the extreme.
Yeah, this isn't the right way to do it, Jerry.
But again, this is like we see his like the childhood trauma where it all gets triggered. So you can see how he's ended up in such a dark place that having a head for company is a good thing. But oh my God, when he's sharing breakfast with her, oh, I'm so glad they didn't switch back to like
I
your mom bed
know.
because I could barely stomach that.
I know,
Like,
because when I first watched this, I did wonder at the end when it kind of all came together if they would do like flashbacks of like the same scene, but in reality, like in real life,
my
and you
God,
could
they should have.
they. I think they should have done that, because
That
that
would have
would have been
been
so like upsetting to like watch that.
just through the credits, and no one can stomach to stay for it because it's just so vile. Oh, that's disgusting. I love it.
Yeah.
That's
Oh,
so rough.
Jerry.
Oh, Jerry.
Oh,
Jerry, what are you
Jerry.
doing? And then we've got poor Lisa because Fiona needs a friend.
That was super heartbreaking, because I really felt like him and Lisa like could have had a real connection, and maybe someone that he could be happy with in reality. But the problem was is that he was already losing, because he'd already killed Fiona. He'd already become the bad guy.
Yeah.
So
Oh, yeah.
weirdly, you're rooting for them, but you know it's never going to happen, because Jerry's
Yeah.
already the villain.
And the sad thing is, I think watching from the outside, we knew it was never going to work with Fiona because, as you said, like her attitude to him was a bit off. But Lisa was the one who was like, come out for drinks with us. So actually, she was already like, she liked him from the beginning. And it, again, I'm not saying that. Actually, like if Lisa had been in the car that night and the deer came through, actually she could have just been killed first. So, I'm not saying, oh, it would have been fine if you just met the right girl, because it's not on the girl. But it's not on the girl to fix the
Absolutely not. It never is.
man. He had to listen to his therapist and actually talk to his therapist and not lie to his
Exactly.
therapist.
Exactly.
But it's heartbreaking because you're like, oh, Lisa, no.
I think with Jerry, he would have found another way to kill Lisa at one other point. Like, it wouldn't have been this didn't trigger because he wanted to kill Fiona, or killed Fiona. This would have happened, I think, one way or the other, if he was going down that path.
Yeah. And it's, oh, I do, it's so hard. Again, her death scene is quite heartbreaking because she's trying so hard to like reason with him and be nice. And actually, isn't her death an act like technically an accident as well?
Well, this is what I mean. Like, it won't tell. When is it gonna like not become an accident? You know? I know you're
No,
trying to say it was an accident,
but
but
wasn't it, didn't he like slip? No, didn't he
well. But he
push
did
her
that
on the
line again,
bed?
like, look what you made me do. Like, he it I don't think it was an accident.
I'm generally trying to remember because I was like, didn't she like fall back and smack her head? And it was like, whoopsie. But like, no, you know,
But it
like,
was his fault.
again, I think that one may have been the non-drugs. He like the when it became definitely not an accident was Alison.
Yes.
Oh God, this is so
Is
dark.
this me? Is this really what you're doing?
Look what you made me do.
You're literally like, he didn't mean to do any of it. It was only when he kidnapped his therapist that he was
No,
bad.
Alison was the other co-worker who came to find Lisa and then
Oh
was like,
shit, of course, sorry.
yeah. And then it was
Yes.
like,
Oh,
well,
okay.
there's still space in the fridge.
Oh yeah, I remember that scene, because it quickly
Oh,
cuts to the head
yeah.
in the other head in the fridge. Yeah. Oh, I know.
But yeah.
So the therapist.
So the therapist. That was such, I think it was a shame with the therapist because I really thought when he went to her that it's all gonna work out and he's like, the police are gonna
Yeah.
come and get him. And then obviously it doesn't end that way. He kidnaps her instead.
New.
And then it's, what does he say when she's on the like hood of his car? Like, oh, 10 years worth of therapy in 10 minutes or something.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. For me, this is where it kind of, I don't know, I think they were kind of just trying to figure out what would happen next, what to do, rah rah. And I don't know, I just kind of was like, I'd want to know more about the heads in the fridge, if I'm honest. Like,
yeah, I feel like they kind of weren't really sure what else to do. So they tried to sort of make that the ultimatum and like the last big thing that he does. But to be fair, it wasn't, I don't think, completely necessary for that therapist bit to happen. I think it would have been a fine film without that. But
yeah,
I guess it kind of like adds a little bit to it, and it kind of shows that he's really kind of like off the rails now. Like he's not in control of himself whatsoever, and it's like a bad situation. So I guess it shows that. But
it's also, he's not even back on his meds, but he can see how bad it is. So like, that's got to be horrible for him, because obviously he was avoiding the meds because he didn't like the reality.
And now he can't reality, escape it.
He literally has no escape anymore. Well, he finds an escape, actually. It's just pretty fucking dark.
Yeah.
That's true. We didn't even talk, sorry, we, again, as before we get to, you know, the therapist at the house with the other heads, or actually she's not a head yet. We actually talk about, I'm going to get the name wrong again, Lisa, so Anna Kendrick's character, the date he takes her on back to, like, I know they haven't clicked, obviously, yet, that her co-worker's missing, but if a guy takes you on a first date to a cabin in the woods, bearing in mind that's the film we just covered,
yeah,
like, would that not be a bit creepy? Like, she's incredibly calm.
Yeah. It would be like, okay, I don't know this guy that well, like, what's going to happen here?
Yeah, like we have said it before, if you don't know you're in a horror, you're going to assume he hasn't got any ill intent. But
of course not. But
maybe it is.
Well, as women, we're all like always on alert, I think.
Swear to God, if a guy said to me, like, I'm going to take you on a date to a cabin, like in the middle of the woods with no one around, because when was this based? Like, when was it set? Because it wasn't set in 2014, was it?
Was it not?
Maybe it was, but as I said, did any of them have, like, mobiles?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know when this was set. I assumed it was set at the time, but...
We'll go with it was, but I don't remember any of them, like, calling each other. Oh, actually, I think she does say, I'll leave him a message later. But again, they were all calling, like, the work phone.
Yeah. Or maybe because they weren't allowed phones on site or something.
Maybe. It wasn't, yeah.
It was weird.
So again, even now with a phone, like, what the, if I'm in the middle of the woods and I'm ringing you like, hey, this guy's sketch, I could be hours away. Like, yeah. I just wouldn't do it. Like, and again, it's very easy for us to say that because we know what has happened to some women.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know, but she's just so calm. And I'm like, how are you not freaking out? He's telling you, like, what happened to his mom in this? Or, yeah, like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
How are you not freaking?
Oh. I know. I just, yeah, all of it is just so, like, it all just gets a bit intense at the end. It's all just, I could, you know what? I only watched this, like, a month ago, and I completely forgot that Alison fucking dies. I was literally thinking about the last two, and I was like, oh my God, Jerry, you're just, like, you're out of control now. You were out of control as soon as Fiona died, but you're literally out of control now.
Well, I think that was the thing, because, like, with Lisa, he was intending to kill her as a friend for Fiona, but then why open up to her about his mum? Mm. But I don't know if that was because he was like, I want to tell someone and she's safe because she'll be dead in a few hours. And then he slept with her and developed feelings and got more complicated. Mm. It's the whole sky, what do they call it? It's not a sunroof. Skylight. I'll go through the skylight. And she's obviously trying to get in. He can see him panicking.
Yeah, that bit is where I got, like, really freaked out.
Yeah.
Because it was like, yeah, there's no... Although, I did think that maybe she would be, like, the final girl in this film.
I did.
Because she was, like, she was the nice one, the innocent one.
Yeah.
You know, the one that, like, was kind to Jerry, had a lot of, like, redeeming, like, good qualities about her. And the fact that she isn't even the last to die is really an interesting way to go about it.
But she did break the key rule of don't have sex.
She did. And especially not with the bad guy.
Yeah, not with the killer.
You know, at least in slashers, they don't have sex with Jason. You know?
Yeah, true. Well, no, but...
They're not like Shag and Freddy, are they?
No, but Sydney.
You are correct, Chantal. I was about to say your last name. I'm glad I didn't.
Really dog me in it.
Chantal.
No. Freddy Krueger, you could not argue. They
you're not very correct. Me. Sydney and Billy Loomis.
Yeah.
Boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah. Mm. Wait, I say normally in reality, it's the fucking husband. So, you know.
Fucking, yeah, it is.
We just want to date.
So, anyway. Boyfriend. Yeah, just, I mean, I know you're in a committed long-term relationship, but just don't date. It's easier.
It's great. It means I'm at risk at all times.
Don't say that. Oh, my God. I have full trust in Mitch.
Sorry, I was in a work... So I was in a work meeting the other day and like, so I've just started a new job and they were trying to be nice and they were like, oh, so where are you based? Because like this company's all over the UK. And so I was trying to be quite vague and I just gave like a city name kind of nearby. And they were like, oh, yeah, I know that area. Like whereabouts? And I was like, look, you are asking a random girl with like quite a few colleagues on this call. I was like, I don't know any of you. I'm not giving you the town I live in. Like, I'm not, what the fuck? Why are you asking these questions? And I'm sure it was just trying to be nice. But again, as a female, when you're like, I'm more likely to be killed by someone I know, you're now colleagues, which means you are now a threat. So I'm not giving out my fucking address in a work call.
How depressing.
Right? It's when he brings like Fiona out onto the table and the therapist is like, what the fuck?
Because rightly so, just like freaks.
I love the fact they show us Fiona screaming.
Yeah.
And the cat, and it's like, that is not what the therapist is seeing. What was her name? Dr. Warren. That is not what she's seeing.
No. And at this point, we assume it's horrendous, but we don't. I think at this point, we're so used to seeing just Fiona's head. Like, yeah. Looking beautiful with her makeup on. Like, we're so used to just seeing everything in Jerry's world that we're kind of almost like, what?
So, yeah,
like, what's your beef, man?
She's fine. She's talking. She has
She's fine. Like, you kind of, like, forget. You sort of think, like, you don't obviously think, oh, why is she freaking out? Because obviously you know why. But you're kind of put in a false sense of security where you're kind of like, well, we haven't seen what this head looks like in real life. So... You know, in reality, it's fine. And then horrible. I'm so glad that they... I wonder if it would have been better if they never showed us the reality, if it was always kind of like something that the audience...
Never saw,
but kind of conjured up in their head themselves. I mean, I quite like that you did because it kind of added a lot more horror to the film. Because before it was kind of more like a, I want to say thriller, comedy sort of thing, kind of... And there wasn't a lot of like super scary bits in it.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we did see it. But I wonder if we never did.
I'm glad we did. Because although, as you're saying, it'd be like horrible to conjure up in your head how bad it could be. I think if you hadn't seen it, it would be very easy to just fall into almost, what's the film, like The Haunted Mansion, where you've got the talking heads. Like, I know they're like,
that's true. Call
them cement. Heads.
The singing heads. That are like...
Yeah. So I think it would almost be like a Disney gimmick. So I'm glad you did see the reaction. Like, I like the...
Good point.
But again, I think because we also were quite shocked when we see it, and that puts you on Jerry's level of how shocking it was for him.
That's very true.
But Fiona must have been rotting at that point. I know she'd been in a fridge, but it weren't doing enough because I don't even know how long it had been at this point. How would they not notice three of their colleagues? Like,
I
am wondering if instead of the, because we've both kind of said the kidnapping the therapist was a bit mad. I'm wondering if instead we could have seen it so that we could see Jerry's life and then we'd seen like the cop, because he had like a good relationship with the cop at the beginning. Yeah. So he was obviously like trying to be respectful to authority, didn't want to get in trouble again. So I wonder if we could have seen the cop get called in for Fiona's disappearance. And then we could have actually seen their investigation as more of his colleagues started going missing.
Yeah.
And they could have spoken to the therapist. I don't know. I'm not scriptwriter, clearly. I've got the hiccups tonight. I'm so sorry. It's really like ruining my flow. But it just, I don't know. I'm trying to think of an ending that would have been good.
I think I liked most of the ending. Like, I liked that he did die in the end, because I do think that, like, he wasn't savable at that point. I think that he'd done too much, and it almost kind of would have been sadder to see him in prison. Like, it's almost like now he can, and again, this is no empathy for Jerry. I mean, obviously we do have a bit of it because he is quite a likable character and it is a comedy, horror comedy, but obviously I'm not sympathizing with him, but you kind of see him at the end where he's reunited with his parents and you know, all the people that he killed. It's like, sorry for killing you, and then they like sing that song, sing along, sing a happy song, oh, sing along, sing a happy song. And so Jerry can just like live in this world now.
Live in that. I think you're right. I think he had no redemption. I don't think he could have come back from it, but I think it's hard as well, because I think this is a reality, and I think this is where the film takes a really harsh look at itself and looks at society, but it doesn't do it really pointedly. But as you say, like, had Jerry ended up in prison, actually, I think we can feel empathy for him, because I think Jerry is, I think this is, yeah, this is set in America. This is like, you're a typical American who goes through childhood trauma. And then the healthcare system, and I'm not saying it's just America, the healthcare system's crap all over the world when it comes to mental health.
Puts him down.
But they're, as I say, because their only real answer for mental health at the moment is stick him on drugs and give him a therapist. And I'm not saying the therapist isn't doing enough, but if Jerry's not telling her the truth, what? She's not a miracle worker. She's not a mind reader. And it still relies on an adult taking his meds. And they just hope that the problem will go away. And actually, that's not enough support. So then if he'd ended up in prison for killing women, which, again, absolutely should have gone to prison for killing women, but because he didn't get the support he needed. And it's really weird, because I can hear myself like defending murderers who end up killing women. But when it comes down to something, they're like, actually, they knew he had, they knew he needed help, and he wasn't given enough of it. And people thought he was fine because he was telling them he was. And I think that's the scary truth, is when people say they're fine, are we checking?
Yeah, it's very true. It is a really, that's what we were saying at the beginning, it's a really complicated relationship that we have with Jerry and this film. Because, you do feel kind of somewhat empathy. You're glad that, like, you know, there's a bit of a quote-unquote happy ending, at least for Jerry.
It's so not a happy ending. That's what's so fucked about.
It's so not a happy ending, but compared to, like, oh god.
But yeah, but the alternative wasn't good either. Like, and again, I think it's because they keep on the happy filter. Had it just been his funeral with no one there, that would have been a really sad ending, but it would have been the same ending. It's really hard, and it's really hard as well, because I can sit here and go, you know, there's not enough done for mental health. I don't know what the answer is, but it just, we just don't do enough. Because look at the fucking world. Look at people who cry. Look at the waiting lists. So basically, there you go. Go check on your friends. If they're saying they're fine, double check they're fine. I'm not saying they're going to be a murderer, but this is an extreme case. But triple check, because they might just need a hug.
Are you okay, Tal?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good.
Are you okay?
I'm okay.
Do we need another bottle of wine?
Probably. Yeah. We usually do.
Not on a Monday.
No, not school night.
So, is there anything else you want to add about the film?
I don't think so.
I feel like we whipped through it.
I know. Did you have anything to add about the SFX? I guess there's probably not like a whole lot to talk about with it, but
I want to look up. It's one of those films I couldn't find a lot about. I could find like a little behind the scenes video, which is kind of cute, because this was obviously, it's weird with films sometimes, because some behind the scenes, they have like loads of different features. This one is just literally as if someone's stood behind them with a camera going, this is what happened. So it's kind of cute because it's real. But what I love is like how they basically do the heads. And it's really simple, because it is just I'm trying to think, have you ever been to one of those, what are they called? Like art galleries or museums do it sometimes. It's like a fun photo house and you stick your head through like a hole.
Yeah.
It's literally that simple. So you've got like Anna Kendrick and Gemma Arterton sat in a fridge, which is amazing. Like the fridge looks like a normal size fridge. So I'm like, how did you both fit? They must have been wider or at least a little bit. But they're both like sat and then they've got a shelf just like cut in there around their necks and it's just been edited. So it's something so simple. And then they obviously made like a prosthetic head in that when they had to show them on the drugs so you could see the heads decaying. But I just thought it was so simple. But you can, I'll try and get some like screenshots of it because you can see them having fun with it. And like every time, and like if they're in the table or the sideboard, and there's a bit where it's like Gemma Arterton was Fiona just being like, oh, this is so weird. I'm so like, it does like, it's just so weird. I just don't get used to it. Or like Anna Kendrick was taking selfies of them because it was just, it just looks really funny. So I thought that was funny. I didn't
That's
see it
cool.
with Ella Smith, who played Alison Below Them, but I imagine it was just done the same way, but they'd have had to do it in like two halves because the fridge wouldn't
Yeah.
be big enough. So I just thought it was great. And it was just, you know, just a
That's
bit silly,
cool.
but something quite simple. So again, we've said it before, the simple is the effective.
Yeah. One thing I was going to quickly add on was like how no one, because Ryan Reynolds is like an A-list Hollywood star. But he, I think he only like really truly came to his own when Deadpool came out, which I'm going to say is after this, 2015. Yeah.
I'm trying to think, yeah, because I mean, Reynolds was definitely a name before Deadpool, but you, but at, not at this
Well,
point.
yeah, he hadn't like fully made his like place, I don't think, in like in film like as much as he sort of has now.
Yeah, now
But
he's like a
he's,
household name. At this point, I think he was probably a name, but not like,
yeah, well, what he said
yeah.
about the film, and he said it was one of his most underrated that he did. He's like,
Yeah.
one of my favorite movies I've ever done. Never really got a date. It's Day in Court, but man, it's weird and fun and beautiful. And I really agree with that because, like, I'm not a bit massive fan of Ryan Reynolds. I'm not really a fan of his films. Like, I like Deadpool, but it's just not for me.
That's
And it's
controversial,
kind
my
of
friend.
like, yeah, they're just like, I don't like find his films like, I don't know, that funny really. Like, he Deadpool's very funny, but just like, I don't know. Free guy and things like that. It's just not really my kind of thing. But
Was gonna say, he doesn't do a lot of horrors, to be fair.
no, and he doesn't have to do horrors.
No.
But just yeah, they're just it's I'm just not really the audience for things like Free Guy. They're just not really my thing.
No.
But I really love that he just did this film, like this kind of like independent, random little kind of gem of a film. And not a lot of people kind of know about it, I don't think.
Yeah.
And I know he did a film called Buried, which again was a pretty serious film, which I've not seen.
I remember loving Buried, but
Okay.
the thing is, I'm terrified of being buried alive. So
Yeah, I'm not sure anyone fancies it, Tel.
I think that's the thing. I say that like it's unusual, but I can't imagine anyone's like, do you know what my jam is? Get a spade. Like,
Yeah.
it's not a thing. So I remember really liking it, but it came out in 2010, and I actually think I've only seen it probably the once. So I do want to re-watch it and see if I still think it's as good. Because it's been a while. It's been a while.
Yeah, been a while. Yeah, I'd like to watch that. But basically, he's just not in a lot of like kind of serious roles. So I really liked this little gem of a film he did. And it seems like he had such a good time filming it as well. So yeah, I really love that he kind of chose to do something different.
I actually said that he wasn't in that many horrors. Okay, he's not in loads, but he also did Amityville Horror.
He did do Amityville Horror, yeah.
So he's done a few others that I don't know if you'd count them as horrors or more like action. He's done a few rom-coms. I love how we're literally going through Ryan as if no one's ever heard of him.
Yeah, that's what I
Like
mean.
this
Like
little
a lot of his,
guy.
this is what I mean. Like a lot of the films he does is just not like really my thing.
No,
Like
but like
my, it's I'm not the
R.I.P.D.
audience for it. But like that's why I love that he chose to do this like small little horror film, which is like really clever, really fun, and he was absolutely brilliant in it. So.
Because I was just looking, because I was like, God, he looks really young in this. But he did R.I.P.D. the year before, and in that film, I thought he looked like an adult. Whereas in this film, where he looks like baby-faced little 20-year-old, I was like, oh my God. Yeah, that really threw me then. Like, how, when this actually, because this came out in 2014, Deadpool was 2016,
2015.
so only 2 years after this.
I was 2016. I got that wrong.
So far, if you look at his IMDb, there is so much, how Deadpool spent Halloween, Deadpool trailer. Like, it's hard to find the actual Deadpool. Oh my God, Deadpool, Happy Year of the Monkey, Manchester United Dream. Like, there's a lot. But that is mad that that was only 2 years after this. And in Deadpool, he looks like a fully grown adult, whereas in this, he literally looked like he's 20. That's crazy. And that's really blown my mind a little bit. But also, you've got like Anna Kendrick. And this must have been early in her career. Again, I'm going to say that and be proven completely wrong now that I open up.
When was Pitch Perfect?
Let me have. Actually, that Pitch Perfect must have been before this, because I remember watching that.
2012.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because I remember watching that when we were at like sleepovers and stuff. This film really feels like it was way earlier than it actually
Way
was.
earlier. Yeah, it's
Wow.
interesting. It's just such a little golden nugget of a horror film.
It really did fly under the radar, though, didn't it?
Yeah, it really did. Yeah, even Ryan Reynolds said that himself. But it was one of
Yeah.
the films that he loved working on the most, which is such a cool fact.
That is cool. Is I do wonder if it's because the topic's quite controversial and people, I suppose it's hard to be like, yeah, I loved this film about the schizophrenic killer, because that is quite taboo
Yeah.
because it's quite a misunderstood topic. So I think that's a hard thing for to like promote and be like, yeah, I promise you it's a great film. It's like, oh,
Yeah.
don't want to look bad on that one. So I can
No.
see, yeah, maybe that's the only reason I can assume it would have just been completely secret almost. Okay, well, it's a hard question on this one, because it will be, but do you
Yeah.
think you would survive Jerry?
Oh, it is a hard one because it depends what like situation I'm in. If I just slept with a guy and I felt like there was a connection, then I wouldn't have any qualms with like going into his apartment and like I'd feel like I'd be able to trust him enough. So maybe I wouldn't, after like that's why I feel so bad for her because she's been alone with him. She's kind of already done that. So she feels like she can trust him. So oh, I don't know. I guess no. What do you think?
I think I'm too awkward. Like, you wouldn't believe it the way I talk. But I think, like, when I first start dating a person, I'm not like confident enough to show up at the house with like, what is she bringing? Like muffins or something?
Yeah, that's true. I wouldn't do that.
Like, I don't think I'd actually have the confidence to do that. But again, this is why I'm half convinced this is set in a like the 80s or the 90s or something. One, because of how the house is decorated. Two, I'm sure none of them had mobiles. And things like that, because no one had mobiles, you would turn up to people's houses. Whereas, no, we'd be waiting for the text.
Yeah, we'd be waiting for like, is he gonna ghost or?
Yeah, literally, we'd be like, oh, what's going to happen? But unfortunately, then we might be more screwed, because we might be more invested. So that actually, 6 months down the line, when we're in his house and we're like,
That's true.
why is there a skeletal head in the fridge now? Because
Don't
he's
worry
dead
about
as
it, babe.
fuck. So either, yeah. I'm also, I don't
Yeah.
know. It's also really hard because it's a colleague. So it's like you can't just one and done. It's like you're either dating them or you're not.
That's true. Yeah, don't shit where you eat.
No. So either we'd both be sensible and we wouldn't date them, because we're like, no, they're a colleague, or
Yeah.
we'd both end up as we'd be the two heads in the fridge.
Would be the
Oh, which way do you think it would be? I really don't know.
I don't know.
Or
You
would
know
we be the cat
what,
and dog?
listeners? Yeah, fuck it. We'll be the cat dog. You could be the cat.
I'll be a bitch, that's fine, actually. I don't want a cat because they're a dick, but I'll be the dickhead, that's fine.
Perfect.
Cool.
Cool. We're the cat and the dog. We've already. It's fucking sorted.
Oh my God. This is actually one of the hardest ones, because I'm like,
It
in
is really
theory,
hard. It's very hard.
he's also, to be fair, with our normal theory of he's just a person. So he is killable.
He is killable.
I'm going to say yes, just because he is killable. But I also feel like it's victim blaming to be like, well, why didn't the girls?
Well, we have to have an answer.
I know, it's just really hard, this one.
We're the cat and the dog. That's our answer. We survive because we're the cat and the dog.
We're the cat and the dog. Or we a small part of me wants to be the head on the plate. So.
Okay.
So either we're the cat and the dog or we're the heads on the plate. We're not really sure which. But perfect. Listeners, let us know what you think. This is a hard one. This is a really hard one. But yes.
So, Chantel, what are you giving The Voices Spooks out of 5? And what is your favourite spook of the film?
I think my favourite spook is when you just... I can't remember how the scene goes. Oh, it's really irritating me. Where Alison turns up to try and find the girls and you're like, oh, no. And that's it. And then suddenly the next scene is just opening the fridge and there's 3 heads. It just fucking cracked me up because that's the dark humour at that point of just, we're not even going to pretend he's sorry anymore. This is what he's become.
Yeah.
And that bit just cracked me up. So I'm going to do that. And I'm going to give it a 3. Because again, I think it is quite a difficult topic. I do think they did it well. I think it's always going to be one of those where can you ever do it right? Mm. But it is kind of fun. It is kind of, yeah, not too serious. Mm-hmm. And as we said, it's one of those you kind of watch it on a whim and actually quite enjoyed it. But I do, towards the end, started to struggle with it because I was like, oh, I'll just wrap it up. Yeah. And I hated the musical number at the end because I just
didn't
see the point for it other than showing off Anna Kendrick's lungs. I was like... What about you? Okay. What is your spook and spooks?
I think my spook is when Jerry brings out the head in front of the therapist. Fiona's just screaming and she's screaming and no one knows what the fuck's going on. So I think it will be that. And I'm going to give it 4 spooks.
Ooh.
Out of 5.
That's what I did.
Yeah, I really liked it. And I will disagree in that I loved the credits scene. I thought it was brilliant because it kind of just topped off the whole film. Like, that is what this film is just all in Jerry's mind. And I think it just kind of perfectly ended. It was perfectly ended like that. That is exactly how he would be if he could. And like just apologizing that he killed all these people and then they just start singing a musical number. It's just mental. So, yeah. So I'm going to give it 4. 6.
Amazing. Well, that was The Voices with 2014. I will specify that one because there is another film called The Voices, which I think came out more recently. But yes, so check out all our socials to see what we're up to before our next episode, and you can see what it's going to be and follow along. Until then, bye.
Bye-bye.
Don't die.
Don't die.
Don't listen to the cat.
Listen to the dog, always.
The dog is a good boy.